Let's start off with prayer. Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for another year. Lord, speaking for me, thank you, Lord. I'm a different man than I was a decade earlier than I am this in the end of it. And Lord, just thank you for fresh starts. Thank you for new beginnings. Thank you for a renewed mind. Lord, there's so much to be thankful for, a body, your word, especially your word, Lord. Thank you for that. Where really transformation happens when we apply our lives to this book. And Lord, just bless these words, Lord, and just reach each ear here, Lord. Open our hearts to receive it. And I just thank you for a new you every day. We get to know you more and more. And just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you don't mind standing to read a few verses, if you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians, this is going to be our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and out of this text you will hear the title of this message. But so good to be here, so good to hear pages turned and seeing faces. It's just a blessing. Okay, so we'll start off 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You may sit down. So, the message, the ministry of reconciliation. And if you don't mind turning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the word confess here is to agree with God, on really who he says we are. And like Pastor Bailey was saying, it's like we run boldly to the throne of grace. We're not timid by it. We're not hesitant by it because we know who awaits us in the other end. And the word forgiveness here in the Greek, it means in kindness, to pardon, to rescue, to deliver oneself. And then I love this part in here. It says, he is faithful. And one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, really, 2 Timothy 2:13, where he says, even when I'm faithless, by the way, that's mostly all the time, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And I love that verse because it's not up to me to maintain this faithfulness. It's not up to me to maintain my good status. It's like I go to faithfulness because that's who he is. And he's faithful and just to forgive. So I'm going to use a basketball analogy. Actually, if Carlos can come up. All right. So come on, brother Carlos. Get up here. You come over here. Okay. It's going to be a basketball analogy. All right. So, in basketball, it's two sides of the opponents. There's an offense and there's a defense. All right? Okay. Now this is called, rebounding. You know, well, first, when in basketball, my whole purpose is after he shoots is to box him out. Right? So I'm boxing him out like so. So he's going for a shot. Right? Boom. I come in and I'm boxing him out. But the whole purpose of me boxing him out is to get the rebound. All right? Because if he slips through my grasp, right, and he gets the rebound, then the whole purpose of me boxing him out is pointless. All right? Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's give a hand for Carlos. Yeah, look at him. Let's give him a hand. He looked good doing it. Okay. So I rebound. And there's a reason why I didn't use Jordan, because he probably run me over. But I rebound in basketball. The reason why I play basketball is my favorite sport. I have a desire to play. I love to win. There's no hidden agenda on that. I do it with my teammates. But here's what I want the importance on. The rebounding, right? So he's the offense, right? But at times, he has the opportunity to rebound his shot. And so that helps him and his team to, one, score a point or to maintain momentum, you know? It's a great opportunity. And the reason why I play is not only to do well for my teammates, but for my coaches as well. We want to win. That's the goal. But the spiritual realm of 1 John 1:9, the spiritual realm of this is rebounding when we fall. Because at times I need to box out the noise of the enemy. I need to not worry about what people are saying about me. And I'm confessing to God. Why? Because he is faithful and just to forgive. I go, why? Because I'm on the winning side. Even when I fell, I'm still winning. It says in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. And it's funny because it doesn't just say conquerors. It says we are more than that. So even our failures don't define who we are. That's my identity. That's who I am. And I rebound. In the spiritual realm, the reason why I rebound, I'm a child of God. His love leads me to repentance. Romans 2:4. Love that verse. Why do I do things for God? Why? No, because his love is just, all I want to do is, just like a little kid, just want to show my parent all good things. You know, I want to make them proud. You know, make my dad proud, you know, and this is why I do these things. And obviously it's his love that he put in me to love people. And again, like he remains faithful. Like it's not my job. It's not my duty. He remains faithful. So this is why in the spiritual realm, I rebound. All right. Pastor Love said this quote. It's like, stop trying to be faithful and place your trust in a faithful God. Like it, let the focus not be on myself. Romans 5:2. If you don't mind turning there, Romans 5:2. All right. So Romans 5:2 says this. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and in him. So, my position is my standing, you know, that, so even when I fall, it says in the Psalms, like his tender mercies uphold me. Like this is what he does. I have access by faith, just like the throne of grace. I have access. I can go to him. And then the beautiful part of this verse, I rejoice in this hope. Like there's like a three part to this. I stand in grace. I rejoice in hope and I have access by faith. I'm agreeing with God about who he says who I am. Oh, okay. So we're talking about basketball. There was an old player. Maybe some of you might not know who he is. His name was Ben Wallace. All right. Guy, big afro. You know, he was not the best offensive player in the league. You know, he's not scoring Kobe Bryant numbers or LeBron James numbers. He was actually in 2004, he helped the Pistons, Detroit Pistons, win a championship. But his sole purpose was to play defense. But the one unique thing that he did in the league that nobody else did was rebound. He boxed and he knew how to box out his opponent. You knew how to rebound. And for us to know, like, when we fall, like, we need to just get right back up. We rebound those missed shots. And the thing about missed shots is, when I play in a game, I'm not focused only on my missed shots. I'm already thinking about my next opportunity up. Like, we're not here just analyzing our mistakes and say, oh, man, you know, just like wallowing on my guilt and just wretched man that I am, you know. No, it's like I'm rebounding because why? I have access by faith. And I have this, and I rejoice in this hope. And here's this, and then, so with Ben Wallace, yeah, he was a very big guy, strong guy, but one thing he did, and one thing that I believe they signed him for, was to rebound, to get that ball when it's up, to make sure that he seals that defensive play, for his team. All right. So Galatians 6:1. Some of you are like, Pastor Don, when are you going to stop talking about this basketball and get, get serious? No, I'm getting serious. Don't worry. Galatians 6:1. And then, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear no one other's burdens. Oh, no, sorry. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine one his own work, and then we'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I love this portion of scripture. I had a thought a couple of months ago. It's so easy to correct people. It's so easy to criticize. It's so easy to be judgmental. And as a believer, when we see an opportunity to correct, love this first part of that verse. It says, first, you be spiritual. It's not, I don't need your opinions. I don't need you to compliment my misery like Job's friends did. Like, I need you to speak to me where in a place where only God can be and can do. And this is why in Proverbs, he fulfills, he gives us the word fitting in our lips. Like, it's his words that we need to hear. And again, with back to the basketball, I'm going to miss shots. That's already about to happen. My teammates are going to miss shots. But the beautiful part about rebounding is like, hey, we're in this together. And for the Galatians 6:1-3, it's like, hey, if someone needs restoring, if someone needs to be upright, hey, I'm going to rebound for you. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to love you. I'm going to have your burden placed on me, you know, because we're in it together. This is one team. This is one kingdom. This is the same God you and I are serving. And so we're helping each other out. We're not going to be analyzing like, oh, man, well, you know, I mean, maybe we are. I don't know. Like, yo, can you stop shooting and this and that? But it's like, hey, you know, we win together, we lose together. But thank God, by the grace of God, we're always in a winning position. And so we already know that missing shots is not the focal point. That's not the main reason why we walk this walk, because we will fail. But loving that we know that it's Christ that never fails, and he's always faithful and just to forgive. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So I know I'm using a lot of basketball analogy right now, but this, the main point first, I'm restoring myself, meaning I'm going to Christ. I'm getting upright with him. Then Galatians 6:1-3, I'm helping my brothers being restored. First, I need to be spiritual, but I'm getting all of us the missed shots. I don't want anyone lost in this message, but this is like a team effort. Like, we're here carrying each other's burdens. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, considering things offered to idols, we know that we have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. A few years ago, and many of you know, I was in Maryland going to Bible college, and I had this great job I was at. And prior to that, I had no knowledge of print operator. Like, I had no, I was in machinery for about 5 years, but into this print, this print job, I had no knowledge. So, a couple of months in, guys, you know, coworkers show, they show me what to do, and I'm getting the groove, and I thank God for his wisdom that helped me out in areas. But one of my coworkers, Joe, his name was Joe, and he loved to repeat himself. So I was mixing some inks together, and he's like, hey, don't forget to add this amount of ink, water to this ink because of this job. And then I said these words that every Christian might have said this. I know. I know. And you know, I had and it was a seed thought, but I think tonight I'm going to just bring it up. The I know spirit. Like, and then here I am, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, I've only been in this job for a few months. Here's this guy, I've been working at it for 15 years. And then I had to have this verse recited to me. I don't know. I don't know not one thing. Like, I can say quickly, like, he can say it a million times. And a million times, I probably need it repeated. And a million times, I needed to recite. Because I can get familiar with church. I can get familiar with the word. I can get familiar with the relationships I have. And this I know spirit, this is a troubled state of mind. And we all have, I mean, maybe not. I know time and time I had that guilt factor, like, I know. Oh, I know this. I know. You don't have to keep telling me. I know. No, I don't know. And Lord, keep me fresh. Keep me guarded from that I know spirit. And then in verse 3, it says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. And so I'm going back to Bible college. My second year, sophomore year, in the beginning of it was dangerous. Because here I am, first year, got a little head knowledge. And I said, okay, you know, I got my Bible ready to go, equipped. There we go. And one time I go on social media and this Lutheran brother just came on in my comments. And, you know, they believed in water baptism. That's the only way to salvation and this and that. So then I go, brother, I'm sorry. It's the blood of Christ that saves us and this and that. So we go back and forth. You know, I backed out because this was going back and forth. I'm commenting. He's commenting. I go back and we're like 100 comments deep. And then I said this. I'm like, if I'm a non-believer, and I just pass through and I see that, how would they think about that? Here's two, and I pray, you know, I pray that he accepted Christ. And that's the main point we're trying to get at. It's like, hey, you know, there's some doctrines you can't touch, you know, and I understand that. But in another hand, it's like, am I so determined to be right? Am I that determined to be right or what I know? Or do I really want my words to make the impact or the love that comes behind it? You know, it was a slap to my face. You know, I had to be like, hey, Don, wake up. You know, it's like, it's not the point about being right. You know, in all my times in evangelism and all the places I've been, I never won anybody over an argument. Never. I had arguments, you know. People, you know, up front or get, you know, overheated, wanting to pounce on me. I don't know. But it's just, I never won nobody that way. It's like, it's our love for people. That's what people are open to. And I love, 1 John 3:18, where it says, my little children, let us not love by words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Like, the words are so little to what an impact of love can make. You know, and so I'm sorry, I'm getting a little dry over here. But anyway, so here's the I remember Pastor Matt Vieta said this to me. He said, you know what? In heaven, this could be a few things I'm going to be wrong about. and it's like, you know, in a way, it just really doesn't matter. It's like for me, like, honestly, this is my life. I base it on it. And I'm not saying that we should not, you know, be a good steward of the word and get to know the word. But in a way, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm trying to reach people. And some people just want to stay on social media and have these arguments. And some, oh, Pedro. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Give a hand to Pedro. All right. Hey, watch out. You better be awake. I might bring you up too. No. Thank you, Pedro. It just really doesn't matter. Like, I'm trying to add names to the book of life, you know? If you want to sit here and have your theology party, and get over your debates, and that's fine. That's cute. That's fine. But here I am, like, you know, people are going to eternity in hell. You know, we're wasting time. We're wasting time with these little bickerings, these little arguments, these little research. That's all good. You want to be there. That's on your, that's your agenda. But for me, it's like, no, it's like, these words are meant for this world to be heard. And sometimes, and most of the time, a lot of people that know these doctrines are not really good stewards or about what they say, right? So I said a little statement here about this verse. I am not known because what I know. I am known because I love God. And doctrine isn't to puff me up. Doctrine is given for my circumstance and my spiritual growth, 2 Peter 3:18. That's the only reason. The things that we learn are not for these, within these four walls. These are for this world to hear. Like, Timothy Keller or something like that. He said, like, God didn't want the world to come to church. God wanted the church to go into the world. Like, there's a different mindset. And when people are focused, and these quotes are always coming up every time I preach. But anyway, another brother says, I don't measure a church of how many people are in it. I measure how many are sent out. That's how he meant. So, I mean, this is what it is. This is what it is. So many in verse 3 are so focused, to have people believe that they know God or they love God and this and that. But it's like, God knows this. God knows this, you know? God knows every heart, right? So, okay. All right. So there's, two examples. And you don't have to turn there. If you want, you can. 1 Samuel chapter 13. There's two examples I want to share with you tonight. Two brothers. King Saul. And, not produced by God. Was promoted by man. His family was rich. Rich in stature. And he did something in 1 Samuel 13 that was unlawful sacrifice. 1 Samuel 13:13-14, he became foolish because he was sacrificing burnt offerings and peace offerings. This was something that he was not supposed to do because Samuel was on his way. He was too hurt. He was familiar with that relationship that he went to do it himself. And then here's Samuel saying, hey, what you've done is now the kingdom stops. The kingdom is not continuing in your name. Familiar with God in many instances. 1 Samuel 15, 8 through 9. Saul didn't take heed of God's voice. So he went to see a woman who practiced witchcraft because God didn't answer him. And 1 Samuel 27, 6 through 13 is that portion of scripture. So Saul getting familiar. He's getting familiar with Samuel. He's getting familiar with God. God said, hey, because God, he said he didn't give him an answer. And then Saul said, okay, well, I'm going to do this sacrifice. And like, again, like for us, it's like, Lord, let us not be familiar with you. Let us not be familiar. It's so easy to do that. So easy to do that. Romans 14:13 says, do not be a stumbling block. It causes for a brother to fall. Don't be a stumbling block. But in this instance, I'm going to say for this, it's like, let us not be a stumbling block. He was so focused on building his walls, his kingdom walls, instead of adding the kingdom of God's walls. He was focusing on that. He was stumbling himself in that instance. Okay, so that's an example of a man who's puffed up, is Saul. Now, an example of a love that edifies is David. David's last words were in 2 Samuel 23. Were about relationships. You look at every portion of that scripture, he's talking about people. His son, Solomon, his end of his words were vanity. And then, let me see here. What I got here. And then Saul, if I can give words to Saul, maybe was full of regret for his whole life trying to pursue David. It's just his jealousy of it. But here's David lamenting over Saul and Jonathan. In 2 Samuel 1:19, where he says, oh, how the mighty has fallen. And you notice, like, when people pass away And when in the funeral time, you don't hear all these negativity coming out. Oh, this man. Oh, he was a tyrant. He was this. He was that. No. You're hearing the best of the best. It's like when people go, you always have something good to say. And like David in his, and then same thing. It's like, hey, oh, how the mighty has fallen. David really saw many attempts trying to kill your life. Saw many attempts trying to stomp what your reputation as a king. You were a running king in the beginning of your tender. But he's like, oh, how the mighty has fallen. Positive words are being said over the book of Psalms, which some of you attended. That was a great time. We've seen David time and time and again seeing himself in the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Seeing himself in the new man. And for us to see that, it's like, hey, this is who we are in Christ. David, knowing that we battle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. Knowing that it's not people we're battling with. It's not about people. It's the spirit that's behind it. Opening his table for his Saul's grandson in 2 Samuel 9:7-13. David was an example of a master builder. If you don't mind turning to 1 Corinthians 3, which you're right near there, if you're still there. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:5-11. Just give me a hallelujah so I can continue. If you're there. Okay. Oh, okay, church. Okay. All right. All right. So 2 Corinthians 3:5. Here we go. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. If you look at Acts 18 and you see a little bit in the end of it about Apollos' ministry, he didn't know much like Paul does, the full scope of the scripture. He knew just as far as John the Baptist, baptism. But he didn't have full knowledge. But here he is in verse 7 where he says, so neither is he who plants anything or nor he who waters. So he's referring to himself and Apollos in this particular scripture. But for our application, we're talking about us. You know, like, it doesn't matter who's spreading the word. It doesn't matter. At least God is giving the increase in that. God will give the increase in that. Me and Rosie, we drove by this man, and it was freezing cold the other day. He had a huge sign that said, I love Jesus. And it was a little off. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I'm like, you know what? He's preaching Christ. I don't care what's his motive. It's cold outside. At least some people can have that in their conscious mind. I said, I saw a crazy man in a corner of the street, but there was a big sign that said, Jesus loved me. You know what? At least there's workers out there doing the work. So for Paul, is saying, hey, I'm not nothing. Apollos, you know, okay, his doctrine is probably not at par of mine. But hey, we're not the equation here. We're not in the equation. God is in the equation. Okay, so verse 8. And now he who plants and he who waters are one. And here I go again. So we're one. We're one in the same. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So let's get this very clear. Christ is the foundation. And the work that I'm mentioning is not the finished work. God's finished the work. But what we're laying and ministering of a reconciliation is we're encouraging one another in the work. We are master builders. In 2020, I'm going to be a master builder instead of a stumbling block. I'm going to encourage my brother instead of criticizing. I'm going to uplift somebody who's in the pit where even David said, even when I'm in the pit of hell, you are there with me. I'm going to be like Ezekiel 3:15, where he said, I sat where they sat. I'm going to sympathize with my brothers and sisters when they fall. I'm going to understand, hey, it's not your burden. It's not even my burden. He casts our burden because he cares for us. But here's it is. Like, we rebounding, I'm rebounding because why? We're in a team. We're in a one solid group. I'm not important. You're not important. God gives the increase. And this is the gospel. This is it. Let me see where I'm at. So even in verse 8, you know, there's jealousy. You know, some people want to be that one, right? Some people want to be like John, always like, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. But I'm not saying that he's saying that in a jealous way. He felt that love that he was saying that. But here in verse 8, King Saul should have noticed, because there was a song about him actually when they said, oh, David has killed his 10,000 and Saul his thousands. But knowing that he was the king, knowing that David was under him, really those were his 10,000s too. And so for Saul, like, having a life of jealousy, you know, I understand why Destiny Childs and NSYNC broke up. Because anything with a group, people get jealous, want to be number one. All right. Okay. I had to put a pop reference in there. Got to get a little simmer down over here. So we work because it is finished. All right. I'm encouraging one another in this. All right. So here we go. We're almost closing. We are closing. Okay. So in 2002, here we go. In 2002, again, am I so reconciliation? I'm restoring myself in what? Going to the throne of grace. Okay. Having access by faith. Rejoicing in this hope. All right. I'm going there to what? Rebound. I need to rebound. I need to be spiritual. Okay. Now my brother is in need. He doesn't need criticism. He doesn't need to be added weight to his guilt. He needs what? Encouragement. This reconciliation. Why? Because Christ has reconciled the whole world to himself. And this is what I do. This is my ministry. And maybe some of you say, well, I don't want to be Ben Wallace and just have one particular assignment. And you know what? That's your business. But for me, it's like, God, help me have this ministry where it's not seen by the millions. It's not. But it's impactful for just one soul. One soul is impactful for. Am I a wise master builder? In 2020, am I a wise master builder? Am I encouraging somebody? When I see somebody doing a work of God, I'm saying, hey, keep going. Keep going. I know it's hard. Listen, there's the opposition of the enemy. There's this own flesh. You know, he's not getting a lot of encouragement. There's a world that's saying an antichrist spirit. He's not getting a lot of encouragement. Am I going to be like, hey, keep going. Keep going. I see God in you. All right. So let's turn back to the 2 Corinthians 5. Back to the text. And we're closing here. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Why? What should we not only our brothers, but even ourselves? We are what? In verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Like, this is it. This is the ministry. I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. We're not analyzing on our missed shots. We're not wallowing on our missed opportunities. We're ready for the next opportunity. That's the grace we live in. It's an opportunity to get to know God. It's an opportunity to wake up. Maybe you just been stumbling in 2020. Maybe you haven't seen God much of the decade. But here's a new start. Here's a fresh start. Here's a way to motivate. Say, hey, wait a minute. I am a new man. This is why I confess in 1 John 1:9. This is why I'm confessing what? To what he says about me. He's saying I'm a child of God. I'm going to believe that. He said that I'm victorious. I'm going to believe that. He said I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to believe that. Why? Because not only that, it's not just words, but it's the authority of God that's been given to me to say these statements. And again, with Paul, I'm not the importance. Apollos is not an importance. But listen, God is doing the increase. And if it's not in, if you're not seeing it in the world, I pray I hope you see it in yourself. Because it's like, especially for us, we are in a new creation. What? And then all of us should be given this in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're restoring ourselves and restoring others in place. And in 2020, am I a stumbling block or am I a master builder? That's it. That's it. I hope you take that from the message. That's it. Am I continuing to encourage people building these the foundation that's already laid by Christ? Or like say, hey, keep on going. Hey, keep on going. You know, one statement I don't say if I don't see somebody in church in a while, I don't say, oh man, I haven't seen you in a while. That's so much discouragement. It's like, that's not my bit. So basically what I'm saying is my relationship with you is only maintained right here. That's all I'm saying. Knowing that when two or three are gathered, even outside of these walls, he is present. I'm having church everywhere I go. I'm having church. And then, you know, when people want to hear that too. And in the world of negativity, in the world that's saying, when you fall and they're like, ha, I knew you were going to be there. We should have we should block that and say, hey, no, you are a child of God. You are important. Pick yourself up. Get right back up. This is great. This is unlimited grace we can be in. There's unlimited grace that God has embraced us in. And it's like, hey, let's go. Let's encourage one another. 2020 is a new, everyone has these revolutions. Maybe have this revolution. Say, hey, I'm going to start encouraging more people while I'm around. That's how I'm drawn. I'm not drawn by the knowledge that I know. I'm not puffed up to what I know. The love that edifies, that's when people say, wow, this is something. Why would Jesus say to his disciples? His disciples goes like, how would they know that we're yours? And he said, when you love one another. When you love one another. Because love is not mentioned in the airways of this world. Love is not the broadcast of media. No, it isn't. Because it's the love of God when I'm showing it to people. People are like, wait a minute, there's something different. There's something different. And the way I'm encouraging one another, there's something different. It's a sound and then there's an action. Not with words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That I'm drawn to. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, just help us to be reminded of who we are in you, Lord. This 2020, Lord, let it be a year where we're reminded of your promises and we're reminded of your love. And I pray if anyone here who has not accepted Christ to just say this, Lord, I believe. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I want to be in that book of life. And I want to have this spirit that to be led by, to be loved by, to be guided by, to be guarded by. And Lord, just thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen.